The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of Harvest Thanksgiving this morning. We want to welcome especially to everybody who's joining us online, maybe in hospitals or nursing homes, or in homes around the parish and indeed further afield. This year, Harvest feels a little bit different to us as our church building is out of commission due to our accessibility project. And I want to say a special word of thanks to those who have decorated the hall so beautifully. And thank you to everybody who has been bringing in tins for the larder food appeal over the last number of weeks. And we hope to distribute those tins over the course of this coming week. I want to also say a special word of welcome this morning to our Harvest preacher, Mrs. Hilary McClay. Hilary is the education officer for the Bishop's Appeal. And as people will know, we've a long-standing connection here with the Bishop's Appeal. And I want to thank everybody again for their very generous response to the recent appeal for Libya. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Just wanted to mention in particular one or two things that don't happen every week, including this evening's service of Harvest Thanksgiving. And it's here in the lower hall. We're not in the upper hall, but we're here in the lower hall at 7 o'clock. And we look forward to welcoming the Reverend Chris Bennett as our Harvest preacher this evening. And after our evening service this evening, there's a special Harvest Supper, which is being hosted by the Mothers Union. And everybody would be really, really welcome. Also wanted to mention the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group, which is meeting this Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, a service of wholeness and healing at 11 o'clock, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. You'll find all the words of our hymns on the screen, or if you're using your church hymnal, you'll find them there. And we're going to stand to sing our opening hymn, which is hymn 37, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come.
Oh.
The psalmist reminds us on this Harvest Sunday that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The choir are going to now sing for us, in response to God's forgiveness, our Harvest Psalm, Psalm 65.
Of the
going to invite May Lavery now to come and bring our Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 99, beginning at verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The Lord is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning, and their teachers. And we're going to stand together to sing hymn number 43, Holy is the Seed Time. If you'd like to be seated again, May is going to bring our New Testament reading.
The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Paying taxes to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, We know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Amen.
Let's respond to God's word as we join together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this morning, Harvest Sunday. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The choir are now going to sing an anthem for Harvest Sunday, Thou Visitest the Earth.
Thank you.
And let's join together now to sing our next hymn of praise and thanksgiving as we sing hymn number 38, Father Blessing Every Seed Time.
Father, we do thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and celebrate your goodness to us. And we pray that you would now quieten our hearts, that we would be able to hear and respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to say it is an absolute joy to be with you this morning on such a beautiful morning. And the hall just looks lovely. I thought, you know, it's very challenging, isn't it, to turn a hall into a beautiful place for a harvest celebration, and you've done a great job. Thank you so much to your rector for this invitation to come and be with you. I think that years and years ago, I came and spoke about Christians Against Poverty here at St. Finian's. And then I have been back with my husband, David, of course. And so that's what I'm doing. You know, it's lovely to be back and to see familiar faces, and I've even got a couple of friends who are with me to cheer me on this morning, so that's a real treat too. I want to talk a bit about Bishop's Appeal. I started in this role just a couple of, well, it feels like a couple of weeks ago, it's actually a couple of months ago now. And the Bishop's Appeal, I think, is a very special outreach arm of the Church of Ireland. And I've brought my notes with me because I don't want to forget something and get it wrong. So excuse me if I kind of follow them a bit. The Bishop's Appeal really tries to reach out with the kindness and compassion of Jesus, expressed through the generosity of members of the Church of Ireland from right across the island, into places and people in need and into situations throughout the world, working through trusted partners on the ground. So we work with established mission agencies and organisations, people who've probably built up relationships, who've been working in particular places for many years, because they know exactly what's happening and where the greatest needs are and what needs to be done. But you know, since I started in August, if you can think back, we've had the floods in Libya, we've had earthquakes in both Morocco and in Afghanistan, and now, of course, this tragic war situation in Gaza and Israel. And they're all emergencies. But the thing that's really scary is that as a new emergency starts, we very quickly forget what happened just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And when I said, you know, earthquakes, floods, and disasters, you almost have to do a mental check. Oh, yes, that did happen. And it happened so recently, didn't it? The world's attention moves on very quickly from one disaster or one tragedy to another. And sometimes I think we can become almost overwhelmed with need and wonder, how can we do anything that can make a difference? And that's actually what I'm increasingly finding that the Bishop's Appeal is just so good at, because the committee are very, your rector is one of the committee, they're a group of very wise people. I'm not just saying that because he's here, but they do prayerfully and carefully work out what is the best way that we can respond. Because if you give a little bit, and I give a little bit, and somebody in Cork gives a little bit, it starts to add up. And together, all around this island, we're in a position to give a grant of funding which makes a real difference. So as I say, there's these emergency funds that go out as soon as an emergency strikes and as soon as we're able to identify the best partner on the ground to send the money to. But then at the same time, as we all know, there are other places where there is incredible need, but often very little, if any, media attention. And so the Bishop's Appeal is able to go in and give a grant, perhaps through Tear Fund or through Christian Aid or through Fields of Life or one of these very well-known and established agencies where giving a grant will make a big difference. So it could be, for example, helping to train farmers how to farm in a more sustainable way in the face of climate change, or educating mums who are trying to set up a sustainable business so that they can not only raise the money to keep their children at school, but to feed them and to have a future for themselves and for their family. Or support for vulnerable girls, where often the stigma of menstruation actually means that they're losing out on education because they can't go to school for a significant number of days in a month, and that's every month, of course, and throughout the year, and it soon adds up. Or literacy projects. And the Mothers Union in particular supports literacy projects in different parts of Africa. And I must say, I thought, well, isn't learning to read and write something that we just take for granted? But do you know, I hadn't thought of it like this, and somebody said to me recently, if you can't read, even if you can afford some medicine for your child, how do you know you're giving them the right dose? Or if you're giving them too much or too little? Or you can't add up, or you don't know the difference on the coins that you have, the few coins that you have, and you go to a shop and you say, I'd like those two things. And the person there says, well, how much money do you have? Oh, well, that would cover it. I'll take that. And you've no idea if you've just been cheated. So learning literacy and numeracy is just so important, not just so that they have the opportunity to benefit their lives, but actually just to protect them from fundamental mistakes. And I read a report recently about a project in Burundi where there was a literacy project supported by the Mothers Union, and one of the feedback comments was, now all the women say they can read their own Bibles. And this was a tremendous encouragement and joy to them. So here we are, we're living in days of incredible challenge, difficulty, and how do we respond when we look out today on a beautiful, beautiful day, and yet on Friday the weather was lashing down and there's been damage and flooding, and the storms have done incredible damage even here on the island of Ireland. how as Christian people do we respond to that challenge? And that's where I felt that today's psalm, which was the set reading for the day, was just a really important one, because it reminds us to exalt the Lord our God, that whatever is going on, whatever is happening, wherever we are in the world, God is still on his throne. And that verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And I want to encourage you, just as we find perhaps difficult things that we see on the news, or we hear stories, or our own lives are quite challenging, whatever is going on, that we remember that the Lord our God is holy, that he is sitting on the throne, that the same God who flung the stars into space came to earth as a man, that Jesus died on the cross to provide us with a way to salvation and to provide us with hope, however hard the circumstances are that we're living in. And you know, harvest reminds us of God's incredible power at work in creation. That image on the screen behind one of the hymns of that handful of, I think, sunflower seeds was just an incredibly powerful image. Because, you know, one sunflower produces so many seeds and multiplies and multiplies. And God has built into creation some incredible, incredible kind of ways in which, with generosity and kindness, we are able to share the resources of the world. There's the sheer beauty of the flowers and of the world that we see around us, and the weirdness of some vegetables. You do wonder, don't you? I wonder what was going on in God's mind when certain vegetables or strange shaped things were created. And my late father always used to say that the first thing he wanted to ask God when he got to heaven was, why did you make wasps? You know? And there are some questions like that that we've probably all got, and some of them will be much more significant than wasps. But God makes and provides for us, and his provision for us has been incredible generosity, incredible privilege, and his kindness should never be taken for granted. And at harvest, I think it is a wonderful way that we stop and we recognize God's goodness to us. And at the same time, we respond by being thankful to him, and that harvest thanksgiving is all about that. And it's a wonderful way in which so many of our parishes choose to make a contribution, an offering to something through the Bishop's Appeal at this particular time of year, because it's like we're saying, you know, God, thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for what you've done for me. And now I want to give back some of that. And that does tie in to our New Testament reading, our gospel reading that May read for us, where Jesus reminds us that we need to respond to the situations that we're in appropriately. You remember the story of the coin, and they're trying to trap him, but he takes this coin. And when I looked at this, I thought, how does this tie into harvest at all? But bear with me, we'll see where we go. That he takes the coin and he says, whose head is that? And they say, well, it's Caesar's. And Jesus says, you give to Caesar what is due to Caesar, but you give to God what is due to God. As citizens of Northern Ireland, we have obligations. We have to pay income tax. We have to pay rates. We have to pay all the hidden taxes through VAT and fuel tax and all those kind of things. But we just recognize that that's part of what it means, what it costs us, because we have the privilege of living here. But as citizens of God's kingdom, there are some responsibilities on us too. We have responsibilities to show the love of Jesus to the people that we meet, to show the kindness of Jesus to those in greatest need. I think it's great that you are also collecting tins for a food bank at the moment, because it's a scary fact of life that more and more people are dependent upon food banks to feed their children, to feed themselves, maybe even for hygiene products, maybe for all the issues that we see on other parts of the world too. And I don't think any of us feel it should be like that here, but it is. And sometimes perhaps people have made bad choices. Well, gosh, I've made bad choices. And I'm pretty much sure that most of us would admit that we've made a bad choice or two in our lives, but perhaps we've been lucky enough that our bad choices haven't had a terribly detrimental effect on ourselves and our families. And there are people who've made bad choices and their lives have been terribly badly impacted. And there are people who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in a situation where they're not able to feed their kids. So it's a wonderful thing that you're doing that. And it's a wonderful thing that together we're able to be part of sending kindness and comfort and essential medical aid and rebuilding and all of those things to the places that need them long after the media spotlight has moved away. You know, when did you last see anything on the news about Libya? But those people are still homeless. Those people are still mourning. Those people are still needing medical attention. Those people are still needing sanitation kits. Those people are still needing food, even as are the people in Gaza and the people in Afghanistan and the people in Morocco and the people in Tanzania and the people in South America and the people and the people and the people. And we have the privilege as God's children of just being part of that. So I want to thank you so much for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to say, you know, this is a very exciting and significant thing that together we can be part of making a difference to people who we may never meet here, but maybe we'll meet them in heaven. And won't that be exciting to meet them and to hear their stories and to see that we've been able to play a small part in that? Exalt the Lord our God, for he is holy. We are privileged people. We worship a holy God. He calls us to be holy like he is holy. And he calls us to care for others and for our world. And that's part of our response to loving him. We enjoy so many of the good things that we notice, perhaps particularly, and we reflect on and we recognize this harvest season. And out of our response to God, we have that wonderful, privileged opportunity to also care for others and to care for our planet. So thank you for listening. Thank you for all your involvement in Bishop's Appeal and maybe in many other different areas of kindness and compassion to those in need. I'm going to pray as I close. Father, we do thank you for your incredible kindness and goodness. We thank you that we worship a holy God and a God who is good. And as the Africans often say, God is good all the time God is good. And even in these difficult days that we live in at the moment, we pray that your goodness and your kindness would be seen around this world. We pray for those in greatest need, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to those who need comfort, to those who need your kindness and compassion, that you would send your people to them. And thank you for the privilege that we have of being a small, small part in stopping people suffering quite so much and making a difference for the days ahead. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And as we continue our prayers, excuse me, let's use that. What we've heard this morning is our response. God is good all the time God is good. So in our prayers, when I say and pray, God is good all the time, let's say together, all the time God is good. Let us pray. Generous God, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you give us. As we thank you for our food, we remember those who do not have enough for even one proper meal each day. Lord, bless all those who suffer because of the greed of others. We pray for the homeless and those who depend on the charity of others. We pray for and thank you for the work of the Bishop's Appeal. We pray for and thank you for our local food banks, providing food for those in need. Help us to share the harvest of the world more fairly, so that everyone can be fed and there will be no more starvation. And so all will say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. At this harvest time, we thank you for the hard work of all those who grow, protect, and prepare our food, for the shopkeepers, the transport delivery drivers, the processors, and the farmers. Bless all those, Lord, who do not earn a fair day's pay for their hard work, both at home and in other countries. Help us to want to buy local produce and fairly traded goods wherever we can, so that everyone can work with dignity and there will be no more poverty. Help us to continue to be able to say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. At this harvest time, we thank you for the world we see around us, for the flowers, the trees, and the animals. Bless all those who care for them, Lord. Help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use your resources, so that there will be clean water, clean air, and plenty of wild birds, mammals, and insects to maintain the ecological balance of our countryside. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We give thanks for all that is good in your creation and all who bring in the harvest of the sea and the land. We are so conscious of so much that we get wrong, so we give thanks too for your grace and patience with us. When we fail to look after your world as we should, help us to change so that we too become a new creation, walking in the light of your gospel. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. At this harvest time, we ask you for your blessing on our families, friends, and neighbors, and on those who are sick. We pray for our church family, and we give thanks for those in our church who care for others, who visit others, and who are always praying for those in need. We thank you for Bishop David, for the work that he does and the care that he puts into his work. And we thank you so much for Hillary, who is with us today. And thank you that she too has her own ministry and serves you with such diligence. Give her protection today as she goes on and works with you. Help us to recognize the interdependence of all things. Help us to recognize that we are dependent upon you, dependent on our brothers and sisters. And therefore, we can come to you with open hands and be open-handed with one another and say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Heavenly Father, we gather all of our prayers together and we pray those words that your lovely Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And conscious of all those blessings that we enjoy, we're going to sing together our next hymn, hymn number 47, We Plough the Fields and Scatter.
Scatter the mercy on the land.
Thank you to everybody for sharing our worship with us this morning. As our service draws to a close in the foyer, there are some letters for people to collect. They look a little bit like this, and we're just updating our records at the moment. And if you haven't already received a letter like that, they're in alphabetical order in the porch. And maybe if you have a neighbour who's not here or a friend, please take theirs as well. Thank you very much to Hilary for all that she has shared with us this morning. And there are lots of things for us to be taking to heart and taking to mind as we think of all the blessings we have received and indeed the very generous response that people have made. And thank you for that response, which is always humbling in this place. And thank you again to those who've decorated and to the choir for leading us so beautifully in our worship today. Let's bow our heads for God's blessing as we prepare to go out into the week that is to come. We bless you, God of seed and harvest, and we bless each other that the beauty of this world and the love that created it might be expressed through our lives and be a blessing to others now and always. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a hymn of thanksgiving and praise, and we're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 7 of hymn 24, All Creatures of Our God and King.